This is the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi Podcast, episode 125. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what we say it is each week, folks. It's a show where we focus on everything to do with fantasy and sci-fi books. From epic fantasy, urban fantasy, space opera, swords and sorcery, grimdark, you name it, we've got it here on the show, and we bring you the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the book world out there. So check in and see what's going on here this week. Let's go ahead and start off things with what I'm up to. I am actually excited to be getting Paramedics Amazon about ready to get into my editor's hands very, very soon. This book is part of my Extreme Medical Services series, and it's really I'm having a lot of fun with it, just carrying the characters into new territory, introducing a fun new character for the readers, and an interesting relationship as a result of that. I can't wait to see what people's reactions are to this, actually. If you haven't read any of these books, please check them out. Book one is actually the same title as the series, Extreme Medical Services, and you can find that just about anywhere you get your ebooks or audiobooks or paperbacks. You can check out more about what I'm up to all the time by getting sneak peeks, special giveaways, and more over at my fan reader group at Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. You can check that out as well over on my website and blog at jamiedavisbooks.com. Joining us this week for the show is Maxina Storybrooke. Maxina has wanted to be an author for as long as she can remember, and she actually pushed forward with that goal in mind through homeschooling and multiple degrees in creative writing. She took the characters she's held in her mind since she was a younger child and matured them and brought them to life in the DeNarco Quartet. Check out my interview with Maxina coming right up. Maxina, it's great to have you here on the Books and Authors Sci-Fi and Fantasy Podcast. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Why don't you introduce yourself to our readers in the audience there and tell them a little bit about who you are and what got you started writing?
Well, my name is Maxina Storybrooke. I am a sci-fi fantasy author who has actually just recently dabbled in thriller as well. I typically write for young teen or young adult. I actually got started when I was 7 years old and initially came up with the idea of my now published first book, DeNarco, which is part of the DeNarco saga. And I actually released that after I graduated from college with a master's degree in creative writing. And for the next approximately 4 or 5 years, I've been cranking them out because with the DeNarco saga, since it's been in my head for so long, all I needed to do was just get it out because I already had the whole story up there.
That's great. And I see there are 3 books in that series. Is that completed 3 books or is there going to be another one along the way?
No, actually, it's going to be a 5-book series.
Okay.
I actually wrote book 4 and 5 at the same time, and I'm right now going through that.
Awesome.
With that.
So tell us a little bit about the DeNarco saga. What's it about? And, what kind of issues and things have you used that to explore? Because I know you've got a lot going on in your writing.
Definitely have a lot going on. It's about a young girl named Mara DeNarco who thinks that she's a normal teenager living a normal life in the rural countryside of Tennessee when all of a sudden an assassin shows up and tries to kill both her and her mother inside of her own home. Mara's mortally wounded in the encounter when an old family friend who had been missing for years suddenly appears out of nowhere through a portal and stops the assassin and takes Mara and her mother to safety. Mara passes out in the process, only to wake up the very next day, not only with the bullet wound in her side completely healed, not only on a different planet, but now also with sparks coming out of her fingers. So she has to figure out not only how to control this power, but she finds out that her family is from this place, and she tries to figure out who she really is in this whole scheme and plot against her family, and how she just overall fits in.
Yeah, and that sounds like a great beginning to a fantastic series, and just a lot of stuff to unpack there. Because, you know, why were they here on Earth, and where do they come from? And it's a lot for her to discover.
It definitely starts off with a bang.
So, you know, it sounds like you really explored this from a character standpoint initially, just from all the stuff you used to describe Mara. Is that correct? I mean, do you come at your stories from a character first, or do you come at it from, I have this seed of an idea and I'm going to build the characters to fill the idea?
It definitely first came from the character, because when I was 7 years old, I was piddling in a notebook, completely different kind of character I had back then, but I was piddling in the notebook. And all of a sudden, this girl in a black cloak holding a sword was looking over her shoulder at me, and all I saw was gold eyes and brown hair. And I had went up to my mom at the time, you know, 7 years old. My mom's just doing her thing, and I'm just a 7 year old. And I say, "Hey, Mom, I can't focus on what I was doing. This girl with gold eyes popped up into my head," and she said, "Well, go write about her then." And I did. I started writing about Mara DiNarco, and it just kind of took off from there. Next thing I knew, I was 32 pages in before my 7 year old mind decided to give up on that, and I just imagined the rest.
That's great. How did, you know, obviously she grew, and as you grew and became a more complex character, obviously, because that's, you know, our vision of things changes as we grow up and mature. What is it about Mara that changed most from her 7 year old version to what she became in the books?
She definitely matured as I matured and grew more and became more experienced, for sure. Some of the major things that changed is that Mara definitely grew more mature overall as a character, but also overall concepts in the book had changed as I aged, because I was starting to understand the world better. Technology plays a big part in my books. So as I grew older and I learned new concepts and everything else like that, I very quickly realized that some of the concepts in my books was not magic. I never liked calling it magic to begin with, but some of the concepts in my book, such as Source, which is a biochemical that originated thousands of years ago and had fused with certain species in that time to the point that they could manipulate it. Originally, I had called it magic, though I didn't like calling it magic. And then when I finally learned the term biochemical, I realized, oh, that's it. It's not magic. I was right all along. It's not magic. It's what you would call a biochemical, which was really fascinating when that just suddenly hit me when I was younger.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, it's one of those things. I was just reading something recently in a science journal about the discovery, when they discovered and figured out how lightning bugs worked. You know, and when you were just describing that, it brought to mind that article, because very much, you know, people were like, how do these little tiny things create so much light that you can see from, you know, however far, 100 yards away, and they light up all throughout the night in this area. Not everybody in the world has lightning bugs, I know that, but, you know, here in the U.S., especially on the East Coast, they're a huge thing. And they discovered the biochemical properties coupled with basically clear lens cells, as it were, that magnify the light that they create. That coupled two things together, created something that's pretty magical, but not magic, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that about lightning bugs, but that's really cool. And that is actually kind of how it works. It looks magical. It seems magical, but it's not magic. It has a very scientific explanation, and it may seem otherworldly or really out there, but it's actually not. And those types of concepts always fascinated me, even when I was younger. I was a really big nerd with anything factual or scientific or futuristic too, which it does play a key part of my books as well.
Well, you'll have to look up lightning bugs, because it's a fascinating thing about how they work. It's biochemical, so it fits into that thing. There are cells around it that help magnify the signal, basically, and acts as lenses in much the same way a lighthouse would have lenses to magnify the light. It's just pretty cool stuff. I like the idea of that magic is just technology we don't understand.
Definitely a concept I play off of in my books heavily, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, because, everything everything is composed of matter and energy. And if you have a way to control either of those two things, you can do something pretty powerful. Nobody thought you could split the atom until they did. And some pretty powerful and horrible things happened because of it. So it is interesting to kind of look at that and expand out upon it, that as we gain more control over the building blocks of humanity and nature and life, we create magical things from that. And it's pretty cool that you've kind of delved into that process too.
Yeah, it's definitely been a little, what would you call it? It's a type of scientific adventure, but more of the theory side of things. And so I explore concepts such as teleportation, between entire realms, universes, and being able to perform illusions and things that you would otherwise classify as magic, but I do try to put the twist on it and try to provide a scientific explanation to how they would be able to do that with Source and Voyana, the two main catalysts to the way that people can actually do these things. That's in my books.
That's really cool. So you delved into this fantasy slash science. I guess you could almost call it science fiction. And it's interesting because I know a bunch of authors that wrote fantasy stories, but always had a science basis behind the fantasy. And so they like to say that they tricked their readers into reading fantasy that was actually science fiction. because by the time they get to like books 5 and 6 or whatever, they realize that everything that they thought was magic is really based on nanotechnology or something like that. And it just, people are like, wait a minute, this is about space aliens, but I really still like the stories and the characters, so I'm going to keep reading. So yeah.
I'm pretty upfront with it. You find out exactly what it is in the description of all of it by the second chapter.
Well, so. That's cool. Well, and I'm not saying, the person I'm talking about, I don't think is disingenuous at all in what they did. They created a really immersive world and then explained it as it went along, as the characters discovered what was going on. And so it was just kind of interesting to see that. But you can definitely meld the two things. You can meld fantasy and science fiction in a way that is really engaging. And I think you've probably done that here as well. But let's change gears a little bit, because you have a more recent book out, The Calling. And that's a different kind of book altogether. I mean, a different genre. You've kind of switched over to a sci-fi thriller, I think you told me it was.
Yes. And that one was a ton of fun. I woke up one morning after a really freaky dream, actually. I woke up one morning after a really freaky dream that involved these strange, tall, enormous creatures made out of smooth stone, essentially chasing me through the woods and trying to kill me. And
well, that's not terrifying at all. That's a little something to be waking up from. Yeah.
Of course, that was the end of the dream, but there was a lot more before it. And immediately what I did, because it just, despite how creepy it was, I was intrigued by essentially the story, the movie that had played out in my dream because of it. And so I immediately just started typing out details onto my phone, sitting there like still half asleep in bed. And it just all poured out. And then next thing I knew, I was at my computer and I have a Patreon. And on my Patreon, I like to post short stories for my lower tiers. And so I started typing it. I thought, okay, this is probably only going to be about 3, maybe 4 parts of approximately about 1,000 to 1,500 words each. So it's going to be like super short, almost like a flash fiction. But no, it ended up being a 19,000 word story, almost 20,000 words. And it became its own entity, not just with the elite, the strange creatures within them that are just mysterious and enthralling yet terrifying at the same time, but also the two main characters as they find out the truth about their world and what the elite really are and what they're doing to their demolished post-apocalyptic society. And what they need to do to survive. And next thing I knew, I had a whole story, and I've been getting readers telling me, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And it's just been a really fun ride with writing that one, because thriller is definitely not my genre, because I get so creeped out so easily. But I couldn't resist staying creeped out the entire time I wrote this, because it was just one of those stories that I felt like I needed to get out. And now I'm really glad that I did.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And did you find this to be a standalone story, or do you think this is part of a series?
It's mostly designed as a standalone, though I do have an idea for a vague idea for a sequel if it does end up taking off and people just absolutely beg me for a sequel. But I'm going to just kind of sit on that for a while, because I do have some other book ideas that I want to start on and everything else like that after I'm done with the DeNarco saga.
So you got the Narco. You said you've kind of got books 4 and 5, you know, done, and you're kind of working on them to polish them now, I guess. What's the release schedule looking like for the last two books in that series?
I've kind of eased up on trying to create deadlines to myself, because I wrote myself out, and I do have a few health issues. So, I'm like developing carpal tunnel symptoms. So I'm having to take it easy, and it's all dependent on how bad that flares up or anything else like that. So I've pretty much given up on deadlines, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm not gonna be George R. R. Martin and just not release the final chapter. It's gonna happen. But essentially my plan is to get them polished up, get them edited, send them off to the editor, finish designing the covers, and then release them within approximately probably 6 to 9 months of one another, since both of them are done.
Excellent. Well, you know, and it's funny, I've I had to like switch over and do a little, start dabbling in dictation for similar reasons, just because I was getting, my hands were getting racked from typing a lot. And, you know, so between dictation and taking lots of breaks, I've been able to kind of break that up a little bit. But I know dictation is it's a big leap for some people. And it was for me, certainly. This was like my fifth or sixth try at dictation before I finally found out what worked for me. So I, you know, it's one of those things that is very, I think, personal to each writer's process.
Mm-hmm. I have tried dictation. I actually have an app that I used there for a while, not only to finish up the calling, but also write a little bit in, well, I say write, but talk a little bit in the monster of a project, which was the fourth and fifth book of the series.
It's funny because when I was doing a lot of dictation, I found my dialogue came really naturally, but the narrative stuff was the things I had to fix most when I went back and did editing. So it was just interesting to see, you know, that it was easy for me to speak in other people's voices, but the narrative description was much different in speaking when I spoke it than it was as a written text prose. But yeah, it's funny how that process works. I had a deadline that I had to do because I'm working with someone else on a project finishing it up, and I had to get it in this past Wednesday. And I spent like 16 hours on Wednesday finishing up the last read through edit on this process before I sent it off to them. And I hate doing that because it made my whole day was just long and miserable and dragging. And yeah, so I completely get not bearing yourself down with too many deadlines.
Yeah.
So I know you also do some stuff helping other writers. You know, you've got your master's in fine arts, as a creative writer, and, you know, you're sharing back a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what you've done to try to kind of help other people with their process.
The biggest thing that I've actually done so far with trying to give back to the community is I actually have a textbook and workbook combo that is currently available on my website, and the textbook is available in ebook form on Amazon as well. It's the From Inkling to Ink series, as I call it, going from an inkling of an idea to smelling the ink inside the printed book in your hands.
I like that.
A family friend actually helped me come up with that title. And my biggest hurdle with that book, though, was as I was writing it, I was trying to figure out what would I put in this book? What would I put in this book? And finally, I realized, well, what do I do? What do I do when I sit down and write? Because all the writers who have contacted me asked me, how did I do it? So I just started, as soon as I switched my thought process to how do I do it, it just all started flowing out. I got done with the textbook and the workbook all in the same month that I got done with the third book of my series. So back in 2018 was when I wrote it all. And finally, I'm releasing the textbook in ebook form because originally it used to only be a convention and website exclusive. And the workbook is just that, a workbook. I have it in both print as well as PDF form. And it's a little workbook that you get to design your characters in and your worlds and even put together your plot. I truly believe that characters and worlds are more than just one single-sided sheet of paper, just like people are more than their resume. So I have approximately, I think my character packets and my world packets are between 10 to 12 pages long of just sheer detail you'll write down about these places and people. It'll go into like the culture, the traditions, how the world or how the area treats knowledge, weapons, education. And with people, it'll go into not only their traits, likes, dislikes, hobbies, and how they look, but also their personality, their past, and actually provides a questionnaire specifically for the character to answer, not the author, but the character. So you're supposed to get inside your character's head, pretend that you're them, and answer those questions as them. And even a personality test at the end that goes off the Myers-Briggs personality test.
Yeah, I've done some work with another author to help me with a character in a series where I use the Enneagram personality process to define the characters and their friends and the main antagonist. And it really helped me to kind of go that process. It was what I was having some trouble with a particular storyline, and she recommended that I do this, and I'm so glad she did. It really, it helped me figure out where I was stumbling. And I always love hearing other authors' processes, and you know, I've done 130 odd podcast episodes now interviewing authors, and I've probably heard 130 different ways that authors come about their stories, but they're all pieces that are they share in common with some other authors. And so I always try to you know, pull from things that other people do and find out what works best for me. And so I always love when I see other authors sharing their process with people. So that's really cool.
Thank you. And that is something that I am really big into is I like giving back. I like sharing. It's just part of my personality. I like sharing my knowledge, sharing what I love, sharing what I'm passionate about. And, yeah, that's what the textbook has become, and that's what the DeNarco saga is, and that's what the calling is, too, is just me finding these stories and wanting to get them out there and wanting to share my knowledge with those other writers and authors who are struggling to get out their stories, because stories belong in the world.
Amen. I think that's the perfect way to wrap this up. Maxina Storybrooke, we have The Calling, which just came out. We have the DeNarco saga, which has 3 books out now and 2 more coming soon. Thank you so much for coming on the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi podcast. It's great to have you on the show. And, you know, I look forward to following what else you have coming out soon.
Thank you very much. And if you're ever interested, you're more than welcome to check out my website as well at maxinastorybrooke.com.
That's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi podcast. I hope you'll make sure to catch up with us for more in the upcoming weeks and months over at the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Focus community on Facebook, and of course over at the website fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode, and if you're over there, let me know what's on your mind. Also, while you're over there, on every podcast episode post, you'll find links to subscribe to the show using your favorite mobile app, whether it's iOS or Android or even by email. Make sure you do that. You don't want to miss any of our upcoming episodes. We have some amazing authors, including our next author, David Hambling, on the show, and you won't want to miss him for sure. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Sci-Fi Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook, either in my reader group at Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers or my author page, Jamie Davis Books. And of course, at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com. Whatever you do, make sure you come back here for the next podcast too. And while you're at it, keep your eyes open while you're out there, folks, because there's magic all around you.